Reflecting on a conversation with James Osborne, KPMG's Chief Digital Officer, I recently found myself incredibly intrigued by the parallels he drew between the public's reaction to an AI chatbot called Eliza in the 1960s and today's responses to generative AI. For those of you that have not heard about Eliza, Eliza was developed by MIT by Joseph Weizenbaum, and it was a groundbreaking experiment in human and computer interaction, sparking both amazement, skepticism, and horror, much like we're experiencing now, because fast forward to the current era where AI technologies have evolved to perform tasks that seem to blur the lines between human and machine capabilities. These reactions really do seem to echo the past. So with this historical context as our backdrop, I invited James Osborne to join me right here on the podcast and dig a little bit deeper in this conversation, and also how we can learn from the past to navigate the future of AI in a way that benefits society as a whole. So today, you can look forward to an insightful discussion with myself and James Osborne, where he is marking his 1-year anniversary as KPMG's Chief Digital Officer. And our conversation today will unravel James's reflections on that past year, focusing on the evolution and implementation of KPMG's artificial intelligence strategy. I also want to learn more about KPMG UK's internal AI assistant called Ava that has garnered over 11,000 users, I think, promoting a culture of experimentation and adoption within the firm. And we'll also talk about their global initiative aimed at boosting AI literacy and engagement amongst KPMG employees last year, featuring participation from 16,000 individuals across 14 countries. And yes, we'll also talk about trusted AI frameworks, a set of guidelines ensuring the ethical and human-centric use of AI technologies, and also reflections on the challenges and achievements of his first year in office, especially against the backdrop of this rapid rise of generative AI technologies. And I also want him to provide a few practical tips for organisations. So if you're looking to embark on your own AI journey throughout your organisation, maybe you've been sat on the sidelines seeing how things go, maybe you want to jump on board but been very nervous about doing it, we're going to find out more about experimenting and engaging the workforce and ensuring you don't get left behind. Now, before I get today's guest on, quick shout out to the sponsors of Tech Talks Daily, because in today's remote first world, I think settling for outdated managed file transfer solutions means ultimately you're risking your sensitive data. But if you upgrade to Kiteworks, the gold standard in secure MFT, boasting FedRAMP moderate authorization, Kiteworks isn't just secure, it's a complete transformation of how your business handles file transfers and communications. So say goodbye to compromise and hello to unmatched security and efficiency. And you can do that by making the switch to kiteworks.com. Visit kiteworks.com to begin. That's kiteworks.com to secure your data and empower your business. But now, let's get today's guest on. So buckle up and hold on tight as I beam your ears all the way to London, where James is waiting to share his story today. So a massive warm welcome to the show, James. Can you tell everyone listening a little about who you are and what you do?
Thanks, Neil. Yeah, I'm James Osborne. I've been involved in technology and professional services for about 25 years. And I'm the Chief Digital Officer for KPMG UK, and that sits alongside my client responsibilities, but basically means I'm responsible for the definition and delivery of the digital strategy and for the running and improving of all our tech with inside the UK firm.
And if I was to ask you to reflect on your first year as KPMG's Chief Digital Officer, what would you say is the most significant learnings and maybe even surprises that you've encountered, particularly around the adoption and integration of AI within the firm? Because it seems to be all anyone's talking about at the moment, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this and what you've experienced.
Yeah, thanks, Neil. And the timing was pretty interesting, because as I came in, the wave of generative AI and ChatGPT was kicking off. So I sort of rode the wave of that early on. And the bit I still find pretty interesting about the whole thing is, despite the changes and the speed and all the possibilities of AI, a lot of common sense things still remain pretty true. So a lot of the last year has been balancing the unknown with the common sense and trying to come up with a sort of clearish view through it all.
And we should also bring up, of course, the introduction of KPMG Ava. I mean, for anyone listening that hasn't heard about that, could you just give me an overview of what that is? And also, how you envision Gen AI chat, maybe transforming things like internal communications, operational efficiency within KPMG UK, and also what have been initial reactions and from the team, etc. Because it is quite a big change. I'm curious everything that you've seen here too.
Yeah, generative AI is massive, particularly for the professional services. I think with its opportunity to change the way we work internally, the way we get value with clients is really been huge. And so Ava for us, as you mentioned, is our internal generative AI solution that we have upwards of sort of 11,000 users engaging with and using as our internal version. And it's been fascinating to watch its progress. So on one side, encouraging people to play around with it and use it and see what it can do for their day-to-day activity has been pretty positive, but there's always cohorts within the firm and everywhere that need a bit more encouragement and a bit more help to use it. But we've been on a journey for about a year now with it, and helping people find reasons and ways of using it safely has been really fascinating to watch.
And it's interesting you say that, and I think a lot of business leaders around the world will be listening with great interest in this, because you were talking about there that trusted internal version. I think what has held a lot of business leaders back is that fear that their business data, their customer data, is being used in large language learning models to train things like ChatGPT. But of course, what we're talking about here is that trusted internal version. So can you just tell me a little bit about doing this, especially for business leaders that maybe have stood back because they are worried about using their data in this way, how it's made possible by what you've done with Ava here?
I think as a profession, as a business, you've got no choice but to engage with this technology. You've got to find a way to make it work and work for you. And key to that is how you do that in light of what you've just said there around protecting your data and finding a way through it. So there are good solutions for these now where it allows you to set, let's call them guardrails, that specify the rules of how you can use your internal data and actually provide much more protection if you set them up properly for your own data and get your people using it with the appropriate data internally. And you know, in some ways, the risk can be greater if you don't find a protected way of turning this on, because there's been stories of various organizations that have ended up with data they didn't want in the public ChatGPT version. So I think we have to find a way to enable our people to use this technology safely. And then you get all the advantage from it is, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. No one's exactly sure how this plays out, but generative AI is going to be everywhere. It's going to be in pretty much every application that we've all got. So what differentiates your business from other businesses is going to be the data, the people, the expertise that you do have. So that's what you've got to protect and then find a way to surface with inside the generative AI, or you just won't get the benefit.
That's such a great point. And I would suspect that, 12, 18 months ago, there was a lot of businesses that just outright banned it straight away, said, We're not doing this. We need to lock it down. And then, as you said, those people within those organizations, they're still going to find ways to use it on the sly. It's what always happens. We saw it with shadow IT many years ago. They'll always find a way. So building that is so important. And you can no longer say, we will do it in another year or in another 2 years. We'll add it to our roadmap kind of thing. Businesses are going to get left behind that don't start adopting this and don't start working smarter, not harder, right?
Yes, I think that's right. And you've also got to realize your organization has to go on a journey with the technology. So We've been playing with it at KPMG in the UK for a year, but you've got to bring the organization with you, get them to experiment with it, get them to play with it. It's not just as simple as making it live and then hoping everything then unfolds from that. So you really have to engage with the people and find a way to work together to get the benefit out of the technology.
And again, to further ease any business leader's concerns, I think the trusted AI framework, I think that also marks a pivotal step towards ethical AI utilization. So again, just to set the scene, can you elaborate on some of those core principles and how it's shaping KPMG's approach to AI deployment and indeed client solutions too?
Certainly. So you can't prescribe for every instance, every example, every thing that you might want to do around the AI and data that you've got. So at KPMG, we set up the Trusted AI framework that allows you to have a set of principles and a set of approaches that give you these guardrails of how we want people to act and how we expect them to act. And sure, there's technology controls around the data and access, but distilling it back to a couple of principles that really then allow teams to explore and experiment within the principles is what we looked at. So we focus on all the things that we do around generative AI, particularly being values led firstly. So in line with our values, human centric. So the human at the center of what's occurring and what it's being used for. The AI is there to help us. And the third one is around it being and the results being trustworthy. So for us, it's the framework that makes those things a bit more real with some detail underneath it. But, you know, just outlining the approach we want to take with AI.
And to further bring to life everything we're talking about here, I'd love to talk about some real-world examples. And the Summit of AI was an ambitious initiative. I think it reached something like 16,000 participants across 14 countries. So what were the key objectives of that program, and how do you measure its success in terms of things like employee engagement and AI literacy and getting everyone on board, etc.?
Yeah, I mean, it's great you've heard of that. I mean, that was a lot of fun, Neil. So it was how do we engage the organization and learn a bit about this? And we didn't think we had all the answers centrally. So we sort of set up a fantastic innovation team, sort of effectively a kind of crowdsourcing several weeks with lots of different activities, lots of different initiatives and updates that people could come to if they had a spare time at lunch or any time to learn about what's going on, to contribute and challenge. So we had, I can't remember, a couple of hundred sessions, very, very bite-sized sessions, so you could get them something out of it, 15, 30 minutes, give your views back and really be part of that conversation about AI and what it means. So yeah, the take-up was great. It broke down some fears and some preconceptions about AI, and then gave us lots of other really good ideas on how we could use it internally and with clients.
I suspect you must get a big kick out of that when you see people coming with preconceptions, they have those fears and all the negative things that they may have read in their news feeds to, hey, this could actually be really valuable for us. It must be like quite a magical moment when you see that penny drop.
It is. It's lovely. I'm still not sure though where one of the difficulties in the last year has been trying to work out where the balance is. You know, on the one hand, my brain says the first AI chatbot was built in like 1966, right? So we've seen, what's that, 50 plus years of this stuff in there. On the other hand, you've got a group of people saying that, you know, the entire world is going to change unrecognizably in the next 12 months. So navigating between those things is not clear. But yeah, it's a lot of, I think the way through it is engaging with people, getting them to play with it and seeing what it means for the work that they do. That's your right. That's what makes it real.
100% with you. And looking forward, I'm not sure how much you will be able to share with everyone listening today, but how do you at KPMG plan to evolve this AI strategy, especially in response to the rapidly changing technological landscape? It's moving at breakneck speed at the moment, and there's an argument it will never move this slow again, which makes it even more overwhelming, and especially considering the emerging needs of your clients are going to be turning to you and looking to you to help lead the way as well. Anything you could share around that?
Yeah, so we've got an AI strategy. I won't bore you with the pillars, but there's different parts of AI for the different things it's trying to do. But for us, one of the most interesting evolutions has been what does it mean for the professional services knowledge base? So a lot of our expertise, a lot of what we do is knowledge that people have accumulated over many, many years. And how do you bring that knowledge to bear in a generative AI that then works alongside colleagues to deliver more value more quickly for clients? So it's a carefully curated sort of knowledge base of intelligence that works alongside practitioners. So something much more specific than a ChatGPT that gets into that expertise that we've accumulated and deploys that. That's something that we're really, really focused on. And we've done some great stuff already in the tax space, particularly that looks at that area. But that's one that I'm really focused on, because I do think much of the generative AI will embed itself within existing technologies, whether they be Microsoft that we've got a fantastic alliance with and really helps with all the collaboration aspects. But it's that what's specific to us? What's the thing we need to protect and enhance as KPMG or as any business? That's the piece I think leaders really need to be thoughtful about.
And I think when it comes to AI, I've always believed that it's about complementing teams, not about replacing them. And whenever we put any new technology, and I've seen this in my own IT career as well, whenever we put any new technology or new solution in there, it's the culture aspect and getting it embedded, getting people to use it. That's the thing that people often neglect. They get the must-have technology, but not the culture side of it. So I'm curious, were there any challenges or obstacles you faced in fostering that AI-centric culture within KPMG? And how do you address that to ensure the firm's readiness for that digital transformation and that pace of change? Because you've got to get buy-in from everybody, haven't you?
That's key. I mean, turning the technology on is relatively easy. Getting people to use it in new ways, that's always been tricky. And we've tried lots of different things. We've got a group of digital ninjas, which are people who really understand how to enable technology and work with people in our firm to get the most out of that technology. We've got lots of initiatives, as you mentioned there already, to get people to experiment with it, to break down the fear, to go and really understand what it is, and then they can feed it all back to us. So we just really try and encourage people to use it to see what it might mean for the way they work, and then take those concerns, questions on board to keep embedding it. Because unless people do use it, unless people keep improving it, you just never really see the proper benefits. And one of the key challenges we had early on is when people would use it for the first time and they'd be a bit underwhelmed about it. They might have seen lots of hype on how it's going to transform their job and life completely, and then they go and use it and they go, oh, that's a bit less than I perhaps had expected. And getting them to come back again when it changes, or getting them to use it in a slightly different way so they see the benefit, that had been one of the things that we've pushed through. But it's fantastic when someone does use it for the first time and their eyes open and they see, wow, this is going to save me a lot of time. This is going to allow me to, as an example, stop taking such detailed meeting notes and help me do that transcription earlier and turn it into something useful. And when you see that happening and people starting joining the dots themselves, that's what we're trying to achieve.
And you mentioned digital ninjas there. Please tell me that's somebody's job title. I would love that on my LinkedIn profile or passport form, digital ninja. Has somebody got that title, or is that just what you refer to them as internally?
Well, they are digital ninjas, but I've got the honorary chief digital ninja title and a nice tie pin to prove it. But they're an awesome group of, we've got some full-time people and then a network of part-time ninjas across the business that are really passionate about technology and really passionate about how we use that within the firm. So it's a great thing that's been running for a few years now.
Absolutely love that. A quick shout out to all those digital ninjas that might be listening to us today. And looking to the future, as AI technologies continue to advance, there is going to be that increasing emphasis on responsible AI. It's a question I have to ask. How are you at KPMG? How are you ensuring that your AI initiatives not only drive innovation, but also adhere to some of those ethical standards and promote greater transparency? Because again, huge talking point right now.
Definitely. And one that you've got to be quite thoughtful about. I mean, there's layers to this, I think, Neil. You've got to get the technology basics right and keep evolving them around how the data's stored, who's got access to it, and ensure that the technological constraints are kind of accurate and right. And then I think what works quite well is trying to work out what the guardrails are. What are the things that you're going to allow people to do and play with, and what are the things that you don't want them to do? And then being very clear on what behavior and what things you do expect within those guardrails has I think been key. And then navigating the conversation across the organization on the risk and the fear and the negative aspects versus the growth aspects, and ensuring that you find a path between them, which has been lots of conversation around protecting against the risks and then try to enable, the vast majority of people who understand how to use it ethically, will use it ethically, and then you give them the tools to make sure that is the case.
So if we look back at everything that you've achieved here, especially from the vantage point of a business leader that could be listening anywhere in the world at the very, very beginning of their AI journey, any advice that you'd give to an organization looking to embark on that similar journey of digital transformation and AI integration based on all your experiences and all your learnings at KPMG? I'm sure you've picked up a few stories along the way, but any advice that you would share?
You know, I think don't wait to get started. I think do engage with it and think about what it means for your business specifically. What does it mean for where you drive value in your organization, with your clients, with your customers? Where might you use it for efficiencies internally? And really think about that. But you don't need a grand strategy. I think you can have something quite simple to get started, to get playing with it, with some of those guiding principles and guardrails. But then engage with your business, engage with your clients, and seek ways to explore and learn and keep refining it. I think so. I think definitely getting started and exploring it is what I'd advocate very much.
Well, I know how incredibly busy you are, so it's a huge pleasure to have you sit down and share your time and share some of your insights with me today. And in return, I'm going to see if there's something we can do for you in return, because there are some of the biggest names in business, VC, funding and tech that have either been guests or maybe even listened to this podcast. So if I was to ask you, is there one person you'd love to have a private breakfast or lunch with? Who would it be and why? Because he or she might just be listening to this. Let's see what we can manifest together. Who would it be?
Well, I did get a hint of that, Neil. So I was a bit thoughtful about it in the context of being in London, but also I think in the AI context, and we talked a little bit about the sort of human in the loop, and I think the humanity in the loop, and the person I would love to have breakfast for, or on the somewhere reasonably priced, would be Jimmy Wales of Wikipedia fame, because I think there is something in both the community and the approach to Wikipedia that we kind of missed, I think, a bit for the social media side, but for the AI in the generated content that's coming out of that, I think there's some really interesting stuff in that space. Round that digital trust with Wikipedia. So I'd love to buy Jimmy breakfast and get his views.
Absolutely love that. Well, we'll throw that out into the universe, into the ether. Let's see what we can make happen there. Just let me know if you do hear anything back. But for anyone listening wanting to learn more about KPMG Ava that we discussed, obviously KPMG is a huge website. Where would you like to point everyone listening?
I think please, yeah, come to our website and have a look. There's the trusted framework. There's some other things in there, or get in touch. There's various ways on the website to contact us and talk about your specifics of the query. But through our website's the easiest, I think, now.
Awesome. Well, I'll provide links for everything so anybody listening can find that nice and easily. And I just love chatting with you today about KPMG's new trusted AI framework, that Summer of AI event, and so much more. But thank you so much for sharing that with me today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So as our conversation comes to a close today, I think it's clear that James Osborne's journey as KPMG's Chief Digital Officer has been both transformative and enlightening. And his strategic initiatives, from rolling out an AI assistant called Ava to spearheading the Summit of AI and establishing the Trusted AI Framework, for me, all these things collectively highlight a forward-thinking approach to embracing AI while also, of course, ensuring ethical standards and human-centric values are at the forefront. But James' insights, for me, they don't just offer a roadmap for integrating AI into business processes, but they also emphasise that critical balance between innovation and responsibility, and that is where the magic happens. So hopefully you understood everything we tried to achieve in our conversation today. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you and your business are going to balance that leveraging AI for business innovation while also ensuring ethical use. And how your organization is navigating the challenges of adopting AI while also fostering that culture of trust, inclusivity, ensuring nobody gets left behind. So this is the part of the podcast where I invite you to share your perspectives. Join the conversation. I don't have the answers today. James has got fantastic experience, but he doesn't have all the answers either. But together, that's where we can chart that path forward. So please email me now, techblogwriter@outlook.com, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, just @NeilCHughes. Join us. We'll continue to explore the vast potential and responsibilities that come with the territory in artificial intelligence. Other than that, I'll return again tomorrow with another guest. We'll explore a completely different topic, but more than anything, thank you for listening as always. And until next time, don't be a stranger.